Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meche, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings. It's your host, Michelle Meche. How's everyone doing? Welcome, everyone, in the chat room. Let me know how the sound is. I was trying to work out something different with the sound. As you know, the chat is my co-pilot, co-host, and also my sound engineer. Welcome, everyone, listening via iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and also, of course, the iCards later on. Even though you're not with us in real time, you're with us all the time. And hi, everyone that's calling in on the phone lines. I will be taking calls, so please hang on. The number is 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you want to get on air. If you have a question, comment, or you just want to chat, that's the number to call. We have a great, great guest today, friend of the show. She comes on whenever she can. We have cosmologist and astrologer Jude Kurvan on today, and we're going to check out what's happening, get the 411 on the astrological changes, and see what's happening with her as well as the projects that are coming up. And that'll be at 12:30. I'll be giving her a call, be calling her in England. Lori, hello, Queen. Good to see you. Crystal Bowles, great to see you as well. Oh, good. Sounds fine. Thank you, guys. I may go back to Mike. I've been going through the phone, and I may go back to my kind of elaborate setup. I've been doing it this way so I can walk around, because when I start doing the intuitive work, it just helps to kind of walk around a bit. Everyone, as you know, if you have a question or a comment, or you would like to give guest suggestions or anything like that, you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. That's awakeningsradio@gmail.com, and we'll answer your questions on air. Love doing that. Dream interpretation, whatever. And I'm really excited. I should probably not say anything too soon, but looks like what we're doing will be expanding to TV. So some people that are interested in the show, and I just had a two meetings. And so I will keep everyone posted. And on that note, I really want to thank everyone that has been leaving comments on the Awakenings radio page on Facebook as well as iTunes. That's a wonderful feedback on iTunes, and people gave some props out to Paulo, which is so cool. We love our Paulo when he comes on here with his Buddha laugh, right? So I don't get to go all the time, but I do go over to iTunes and look, because it just warms my heart when I see who's listening, how you started listening to Awakenings, and how it's impacted you. And we always get the great feedback about the chat room as well. Thanks, Queen. Yeah, and I want to expand it also to the regular radio or terrestrial radio, or maybe an XM or something as well. Still keep this going. I don't know if you guys realize this. I think you do. But you all are impacting so many people in such, I want to just say, fulfilling and life-enhancing ways, just by your consciousness, just by being you. And I love seeing this. In fact, the person that's interested in the show with the network said that this is the time for transformative programming, and there needs to be more places for this. So, yeah, that's all thanks to you guys. Crystal Bowles is asking, I do have a question when you have a moment. I'm up for a possible position change. Do I stay or do I go? Da, 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 da. Boy, that's always the question, whether it's relationship or job, right? Do I stay or do I go? I go with what's most life-enhancing, whether it's in a relationship or career decision. if I'm learning, I'm growing, and it's life enhancing, fulfilling, then I hang in, then I stay. I love it. It doesn't mean there's not challenges, but I think you have to ask yourself, you know, are you getting enough traction in this position? That's what I would say. Now, intuitively, I could look at it if you want me to. Hey, Tricia, great to see you as well. Okay, callers, still stay on the line. I will be with you in a minute. Let's see. The one thing, you know, I want to share, and Crystal, this goes for you as well in the chat, is like a lot of people right now are really looking for kind of situations of more resonance, more coherence, more of a soul connection, or you want to say finding your tribe. So I would say whatever position or whatever relationship reflects that most, that's the direction to go in. If you feel like you have to fit yourself into something, fit yourself into a mold, then that's really saying that it's not a fit. You know, I always like to say, I don't like to get into judgment. I like to say something's just not a match, or it's no longer resonating. It's just not a match. It's not that it's good or it's bad. It's just not enough there that's matching or holding, you know, enough to hold in place. You know, the old paradigm, we tried to fit ourselves into, you know, what's that proverbial saying, you know, the square peg in the round hole. And the new paradigm is definitely not about that. It's like, hey, if you're a round hole, you know, if you're a peg, you know, a round peg, go for the round. If you're a square peg, go for the square. That's okay. You know, you could interact, but you don't want to try to morph yourself into something that you're not. So that's something I would say you would need to, you know, take into account. I want to get to one email question that came in from Sue. Oh, it's another job thing. Possibility of a new job today after I had my two dreams last night asking me, are you ready for the changes that are coming? And after the second time, I said yes. Okay, I'm not sure what the question is there, but, you know, what's interesting. Oh, Crystal, that's you in the chat. Okay. What's interesting is if you are really open to it, if you're attuned, you can ask for the dream or the confirmation or the message. I always ask for 3 to 5 confirmations just because I know my ego can get a little smarty on me. You know, I can think I've got it all together and I really don't. So what, if you want to ask, you know, before you go to bed, you know, just have pen and paper. It really doesn't work so much with technology like having your phone or your iPad by the bed. You really need to kind of do old school, write it out. What your question is, or that I want guidance in this. If you have trouble remembering your dreams, drink some water before you go to sleep, and so that'll make you get up around 3 or 4 a.m., and then you'll usually the dream will be there. And when you're interpreting dreams, you want to look at the feeling. What's the feeling or emotion in the dream? And what is the overall theme of the dream? And then I also ask for confirmations from people, you know, like, okay, because we're spirit or God or all that is, whatever, works through people and situations. So sometimes you'll meet people that even say the answer exactly that you need to hear, or sometimes something may remind you, you know, of, or, you know, a certain situation. Let's say you're trying to become more artistic, you might start meeting a lot of artists, drawing in a lot of artists in your life. Let's see, Tricia is saying, you want to find my tribe besides you guys. Yeah, everybody does right now. I mean, that's kind of a human nature thing, but it's more prevalent now that we're in what we call the age of the soul. We're moving out of the constructed ego, just being, you know, following, I would say it's following the rule book or the manual that doesn't work. Everybody gets that rule book or that manual, and then, you know, somewhere in their life, it's happening sooner to people. You see it happening to people in their, you know, early to mid-20s to, or, you know, early 30s, like, okay, I thought I was going to get the job, you know, okay, I go to school, like, you know, I get the job, I get the girl, I get the guy, I get the car, I get the baby, I get the house, and they're still not happy. So, you know, that happiness comes from within and being fulfilled on a level where you love people, you want to share and connect, but it's not dependent on what's external. So we're kind of all stripping away from that constructed ego and getting more into the authentic self. How about we get to callers? And I hope if I missed email questions, because I'm a little, you know, have company over this week,
other parts of my life. And then I had to make my coffee this morning, my decaf Americana. So if I didn't, if I don't get you on the phone lines before a guest comes on, always next Wednesday we'll be doing our call-in later as well. Okay, let's see, 928-613, welcome to Awakenings, you're on air.
Yes, hello.
Hello, you're on air.
Hi. Do I ask a question or...
Yeah, you ask a question. That tells me that you're engaged and involved in your life.
Okay.
What's your first name? What's your first name?
Alfina.
Delfina?
Alfina.
Pretty. Alfina? Alfina? Beautiful.
Yes.
Alfina? Okay.
My question is, I'm interested in a person right now, and I'm wondering what you see with that. Like, is he interested in me, or?
Let's see. Of course he's interested in you, but how is he interested in you, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Is he around a work situation, by the way?
No.
Okay. And just think of him right now. Definitely interested, but are you feeling a little push-pull or something?
Yeah. It's kind of a complicated situation that I'm in right now. But I'm just wondering, like, if I...
But there's good chemistry, if you know what I mean.
No, like,
there's very good
chemistry.
Should you go for it or not?
Yeah.
Well, I would say, it says yes, but it says to keep other options open. It says to also keep other options open. So I would definitely go for it, see what's happening. Is he getting out of something? Is that what's going on?
No.
Or you are. You are. Somebody is.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it says to go for it, but it's also saying to keep your options open. So whatever that complication is that you're talking about needs to work itself out a little bit, if that makes sense. And I feel it's going to be a time issue. Yeah. Does that make sense?
So basically it's to like go ahead and do what I want to do or
yeah
like,
do what
with
you
him.
Want to do yeah with him
okay
but don't put all your that proverbial eggs in all one basket. Do what you want to do and have a good time and connect.
I have two other people in my life right now, so it's kind of
that's why I'm saying keep your options open. So keep those other people in your life. Yeah, keep the other people in your life, definitely. Yeah. But do it with him. But keep the other people there, too. Right? My pictures just fell off of my shelf. That's a confirmation. Yeah, why not? Until you guys have the, are we exclusive conversation, whatever. Whatever you decide. If your relationship is
It's kind of like different, he's young. He's like 3 years younger than me. I've never dated anybody that young. So I'm like, I'm not really going to take him that serious. And right now I have other people in my life, but it's just.
But that's what I mean. But 3 years is nothing. 3 years older than him is nothing.
Well,
that's okay.
To me, it
that's
is.
So cool. Is it? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Get out of your judgment and have a good time with him. How's that?
Okay.
How's that? Have a good time with them and keep us posted, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, 647-239. You're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle. It's Chris. How are you?
Hi, Chris. Doing great. How are you?
Good. Great.
Hi.
Thank you. Okay, so I wonder if you can just give me some guidance on this question.
Okay.
So it's based on the understanding that, everything in our life is sort of a mirror of ourselves or a reflection, trying to teach us something, I guess.
Okay. Can I stop you right
that,
there, though?
Yeah, please.
How's that? Go ahead. Yeah, because that's like a new age kind of, I don't know what it is, misnomer, because we live our life by projection and perception. So not everything in your life is always a mirror. Otherwise, we would be egocentric, okay? So, when I do a reading, there's a lot of things that I do readings on and experiences that I've never had. Maybe in the tippy-toppy realm of all that is the God consciousness, there's some part of me that did something or resonates with that, right? So we do draw on people into our life that have the most resonance for it. But don't think, like, here's an example. A lot of times people say, oh, you're meeting a lot of angry people. You must have unresolved anger. You must be angry.
Mm-hmm.
No. It just means for whatever reason, you just are bumping into angry people. I mean, there is a randomness to the universe. So I just want to clarify that because what that does when we think that, well, then we're micromanaging our life thinking, oh, my God, I'm attracting this. You know, if I'm attracting good, I feel good, or that means I'm on the right track. But if I'm attracting bad, like one time when I was 14 years old, I will never forget this, I was riding my bike to the beach, and a seagull poo-pooed on me, okay? It just flew over me, and just with my friends, I'm like, oh. But did I go, oh, my God, there must be something wrong with me because this bird did a, you know, poo-pooed on me.
Right.
So that's
okay.
What we're kind of taught. Yeah, so just to clarify that, yeah. Okay, so now go ahead. What's your question?
Okay, well, then maybe that's why I actually stopped to say right, because I figured you'd have an explanation. So I guess then what my question about is I have my daughter, Stephanie. If you could tune in to her and maybe just give me some guidance on how I can help her just with
in
her life.
What's your first name?
Her name's Stephanie.
Stephanie. And in what way are you wanting?
Well, she's sort of depressed and isolating herself and having a hard time.
I get 16. Creativity. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Depression is a natural state. I mean, there's a great great book on it where – I can't think of the name of the book, right? Matthew Fox. It's by Matthew Fox. And he talks about how in our society, you know, we're hooked on the via positiva. We want everything positive. I call it positive poly, you know. But but I'm not talking about clinical depression, so there's a difference. But when we're depressed, when we go within – there's an inner process that's happening and we're getting those major little jewels inside, but you need to have something to do with it. Play guitar, you know, journal writing, something creative, dance. I used to be a professional dancer. I still dance. You know, if I get, you know, my neighbors, I'm up at 1:30 in the morning dancing to get something out, work something out, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I feel with your daughter is she needs the expressive tools. I honestly don't feel clinical depression around her. I feel there's either, I don't know if it was a recent loss. I don't know if it's girlfriend, boyfriend loss. I feel there's been kind of a loss. Maybe she's not fitting in with
her
group, finding her group is what I'm hearing. Is that right?
Yeah.
See, so in that case, I just always say, my God, whether it's, you know, books or reading online or some form of creativity. And that, when I first tuned in before you even saying about the depression, that's what I was getting. So let's be aware because we go through the via negativa. That's the womb. That's the cosmic energy that people are afraid of. It's the feminine energy is the merging depressed energy. It's going within from the via negativa of that depression or depressed or going within, withdrawing, retreating. Then what happens is we go into the via transformativa. There's a transformation that happens. And then from the via transformativa, we need to do something with that transformation, and then we create. And then we go into the via positiva where we feel great. It's like, oh, my God, look what I went through, but look at I made this amazing painting that described, you know, this cathartic, you know, process I was going through. So for her, I really do feel that if you can get her somehow nudge her towards the arts. Sometimes I think as parents, we have to do it like doing it at ourselves. You know, I even say with parents that have little kids, it's like, okay, then just model it. Like, you know, draw how you feel. You know, if you start getting more artistic, a lot of times the kids, you know, will, you know, they'll want to model you. They'll want to emulate you. You know, does that help at all?
Yeah, it does.
Does that help?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome. And please just call back, let us know, you know, if I can help any more, but just let us know how that turns out for you, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Chris. You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Hi, 847. You're on air. 847-344. Welcome to Awakening.
Hello. I'm Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. Welcome.
How you doing? Thank
you.
I'm
doing great.
Good, good. Yeah, actually, I'm from Chicago, and just to let you know, my good friend Matthew Alexander got me actually listening to you on Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Does Matthew listen to my show?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really good friends.
Yeah, he told me about you, and, you know, I'm into the spiritual and everything like that, and he recommended
very
me to
cool.
follow you, and it's awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, I love your show so much. It's very cool.
Thank you so much, and give Matthew a big hug for me. Tell him hello.
Yes,
I'm glad he listened.
I will. I'm in a cover band with him, so I see him every Sunday, so
oh,
I'll definitely let
cool.
him know.
Very
yeah,
cool.
It's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Yeah, I
feel like a family. Extended
yeah.
family.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I just had a question.
Uh-huh.
Actually, this year to me seems like it's supposed to be kind of like my year, I guess you'd say. And I've been hoping
yeah.
to get a different career change from what I'm doing now.
Right.
And I'm just wondering
right.
if maybe you see anything, like, mainly music-wise, if you see anything
music
coming,
wise?
You know. Yeah,
okay.
and in good sense.
Yeah, one thing I think, Kyle, do you write at all? Because I feel like there's a strong pull maybe to write and do some of your original music. Is that true?
Yes. Actually, I'm starting
okay.
to do that on my own.
Oh, perfect. Good. Yeah, because I feel singer-songwriter around you, and I also feel like you could, whether it's writing for yourself and playing, you know, for yourself, I know you want to transition more in that, it's also to write for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've
yeah,
ever
definitely.
Thought of that, but yeah. So I don't know if it's BMI, Amex, whatever, but I feel like you could, and I also feel like you could even get an agent that could help you with that. I feel like you're moving into like a 6 to 8 month cycle on this, so it may not happen immediately, but I do feel that the door will open for you to do your own music and also write, not just for yourself, but for other people, your stuff being covered.
Nice.
Yeah,
that'd be
so
amazing.
Definitely, yeah, definitely go in that direction. And but why do I keep hearing singer-songwriter? So when I hear that, does that mean like you're by yourself? You know,
actually, I'm a drummer.
You might
branch
out on
your
own.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn other instruments, and I do write poetry and stuff, and I want to learn how to sing properly as well. So I would like to do my own music from how
will.
I've learned from drums. So, yeah, that's pretty much
just,
the singer-songwriter right there.
I just go for it, totally go for it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've been shooting for. So I was just hoping, you know, how that future looks and how soon possibly they might come.
Well, keep us posted. I always like to know how people are doing. And just welcome to Awakening. Thanks for calling in. And say hi on
definitely.
Facebook
and,
as well.
I will, and I'll tell Matthew I called in, and I'm sure he'll be glad that I called in to hear from you as well.
Very cool. Okay. Take good care.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. We're just going to go right through the list. 609-468, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Karen. How are you?
Hey, Karen. I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I wanted to call in and give you a confirmation of some things that you had said about things that were going to happen this month. You said it was supposed to be a big month.
I like confirmation.
So. Yeah,
well,
I wonder what else
is
going to happen. You told me I was going to run into an old friend, and that happened, and run into an ex. That happened, too. And I'm like, wow, it's just the beginning of the month. And you said April is going to be big. And I'm like, all righty then.
This month is a huge month for turning points. If people are really, it's kind of a wishes fulfilled, but it's also a lot of relationships springing back. Like you said, you just exes coming back on the scene. You know, old opportunities, whether personal relationship, you know, career things coming back around as well. It's kind of like a boomerang, and that'll happen again. Also, I want to say the retrograde in June. It's June will happen, and then you'll see people in more new pathways September, October. Yeah, so let's look at what's...
And I will have to say, after all the soul path classes that I've taken, that this old friend I ran into didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, hi, how are you, and keep it moving. I didn't feel a thing, which I was like, yes.
Oh, good, yes. None of that energy of, what is it, like sticky energy, right? Just was there
right,
brain.
Not at all.
Wow, that's great. You're right on track, See, you are right on track.
Yay.
And I think, by the way, our next workshop, is teleworkshop, is going to be, I think it's the 26th instead of the whatever that is, the 7th, 16th or 17th, just because Easter's that day.
Oh, right. Okay.
So let's see what you move. You know, your whole thing right now, too, I want to say, Karen, for you, is really that expansion. So, you know, a lot of times when we're expanding in parts of our lives, we have old, you know, people, old situations come back around to say, hey, do you want this? Do you want this? Just like what you said happened. Somebody came back in your life, you know,
right.
Once, twice, you know, and you may say, no, I've moved on. Or like you said, there's no charge. There's no emotional charge there.
Right.
Anymore. Yeah. So you are right on track. Just keep with the expansion. Keep with the part of what I feel for you also is that you're just also integrating other parts of your life. You're letting not just work be a focus, but you're opening to other parts of your life right now, which is really cool.
Yeah, I definitely am. Work is so busy right now, but I pay attention 9 to 5 and then after.
You're balancing it all.
I am. I feel like I'm juggling, but the balls are still in the air. Nothing has fallen so far, so far, so good.
You can handle it. You know, a lot of people think you can't balance a lot of stuff, but you really can. You just don't want to overthink it. You just want to live it. You know, like when I think of the things that I have to do or accomplish, either I might get fearful because I think, oh, I'm not going to be able to do it. Or I think, oh, my God, I have too much to do, you know, and I get overwhelmed. So what I do is I put a lot of stuff in my phone, you know, my calendar. It syncs from my computers to my phone. And then when it comes up, then I deal with it. But if I don't see it, I don't want to deal with it. So that would be something good for you, Karen, just even think in your life, okay, because I know you're really, really busy with the work that you do. It's just
right.
Okay, now I'm at work, you know, and let yourself have some daydream time at work, too. I mean, it's so good for the mind to just daydream a little, meditate, daydream a little, just let the mind chill, then go back to the work. And then when you're not at work, then don't be thinking about work. Right?
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
No more, next paradigm, no more workaholics. All right, sweetie.
Hopefully
for
that'll happen.
In.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, it'll happen. It'll happen.
Thanks a lot for your help.
Yeah. Talk to you later. Thanks for calling in. Okay, just want to remind everybody, if you do, because I'm going to be calling our guest in London in just a little bit, but if you had a question or comment, please press 1 on the keypad, because then that puts you in the queue, and I know you want to get on air, because quite a lot of people listen via phone, like at work and stuff, and sometimes they get a little mad at me. They're like, Michelle, I wasn't wanting you to pick up. I'm at work. Okay, 631-807, you're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm actually awakening.
You're awakening?
I'm awakening here in New York.
You're awakening New York?
Late night. Working in the house late night, that's all.
You had a late night? Oh, I like this. This sounds interesting. Don't
get crazy. Just working in the house. Just working in the house, that's all. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing great. And I want to, you know my name. What's your name? What's your first name?
It's Joanne.
Hey, Joanne. Welcome.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to hear about this late night you had.
No, girl, it's nothing. I just, you know, just...
Okay. I hear you.
I wish it was all that, too. I wish I had a great story to tell
you.
I can't lie. I'm a fact. I can't lie.
Badges are, very truthful. Oh, my God. Blunt.
Right? So, that's my man said I'm just, like, too blunt. I got offended, but, like, I should know better. But he's just kind of, like, insensitive lately. And,
I'd say be blunt. I'd rather have people be blunt. Even if it hurts my feelings, I'll get over it. Because then you know where somebody... Was somebody really thinking, you know, that they have that?
Well, I kind of agree with you on that, you know? Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. That's where I come from. That's how we roll, you know? It's just kind of, like, up in your face. It's, you know, maybe not as blunt as a Sag, but, you know, I'm accustomed to
living
with
that. So the New Yorker and the Sag. Yeah, that's good. You could. So what's your question?
My question is, what is going on with... the man I am with, that is a long-distance relationship, as far as any of this craziness with his quote-unquote...
Here's the deal, what I feel with him. He's in, you feel like he's in, but he's out. You feel like he's pulling back a bit.
Oh, I understand that. He's an engineer.
Okay.
So I know that the work is crazy.
Right. And that's a nice
and I know that
for him right
the
now,
work
so.
Is so personal right now that it is all-consuming. But it doesn't mean you have to be disrespectful. And that doesn't mean that you have to be cold.
Yeah, but you know what? You got to give him a little space. You got to, you know what? I feel sometimes as women, we want to know too much. We kind of micromanage emotions and relationships too much. So give them space. Give them, you know, people can't move forward if there's no space, you know, and it's easy for me to say objectively with you on the phone right now, but I feel he's a little edgy. Sometimes guys get in moods and they don't know what's going on in their heads, so they have to work through things. Women, we're used to moods when we like to talk. We like to, oh, I'm feeling this, and I think I'm going through that, and he said this, and I said that, and we go, blah, 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 blah. And the guys are kind of, they just get this little mood thing, and then it's like a cloud, you know, like, what's that, Linus or whatever, that little cloud over the head, and then all of a sudden the cloud clears, and then there's the idea. But women, we like getting in the cloud and, like, messing around in the cloud, you know. So I feel he's in the cloud right now. Don't mess with his cloud. Just let him be in the cloud. And then I see, like, a little light bulb coming off going, and I hear him going, babe, you know, we need to do something. Let's go out. But you got to give him the space is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, well, going out and giving space is an easy thing to do, Carter, because I live in New York and he's in Texas. So going out is not really an option. It's a Skype relationship right now. But the thing is, I'm just kind of wondering.
But headspace, not physical space, headspace.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, girlfriend. I'm just kidding. Just letting you know that it is long distance. But the thing is, though, Michelle.
But why do I see you seeing him? If it's not him, then there's another guy coming in. Because I see a guy physically around you, and I can see you at a little, kind of, I don't know, like bar, cafe or something. So you're probably going to be stretching out then.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I am a very faithful. I'm faithful like a dog. Are you serious?
Well, maybe a friend. I don't know, but I do see. You know, you can have a male friend.
Oh yeah, I have many, but I don't really go out. You know,
go out?
I'm very consumed with what's going on in this relationship because it is a lot of business.
I know. But then I just told you what you just confirmed what I was telling you about the space. You just said I'm very consumed with this relationship. He can feel that consuming. He can feel you're too focused on this relationship.
But I'm also getting very disgusted, and I am starting to pull back and find my own life again.
But you should do that anyway. You should have your own life. That's what I'm saying. You need to go out, even if you're totally into the student and you don't want to. You know, I can appreciate that, but you need to go out, I don't know, girlfriend, guy friend, you need to go out with other people and have your own life, because that's what's getting that guy on edge. You just said it. You just confirmed my read. You said, I'm consumed with this relationship. And so consumption, there's nowhere for him to expand to. You know, you're consuming him.
You're right. Michelle, I have to know something, because it has just been killing me over this past year. There is a crazy, crazy, crazy litigation that we've both been working on. He's got a few different things going on, actually. Is there any light of settlement at the end of the tunnel? I keep feeling July. I don't know why July. It's a federal issue, which doesn't really mean anything when it's a federal issue. What are you feeling? Any breakthrough? Positive? I'm sorry?
If there's going to be a breakthrough on this, what do you mean?
Well, any decision that's going to come up where something's going to finally break in the positive for him. Because everything that's going on for him right now is on such a major grand scale that it really does affect my life.
I don't know with him. I'm not getting such a strong read on him. I feel that he's so... overwhelmed right now in his world, maybe it's the settlement, his work, finance. I know it's hard. It's like when you want, I feel you want romance, and he's just right now, he's not there. He's got so much going on, you know, and that's a horrible place to be at. I mean, I've been there, you know, and you just got to be a friend right now. What I want you to do, I want you to take a week and unconsume, and I want you to call in next week and give me a report of something you did. I'm going to give you homework, Joanne. I want you to go, I don't care, with your, by yourself, with a guy friend, I want you to go somewhere. You don't have a wine, a beer, whatever, have a tea, I don't care what. I want you to go somewhere and just have a good time, whether listening to music or go to a gallery. Actually, I'm going to make it hard on you. I want you to go to two places.
You're burning me up now.
Two places, Miss Batch. I want you to go to two places.
Okay.
And then report back, okay?
You're really asking a lot. You know that now.
I know I am, but I know you can handle it because you're New York. You're a Sag and you're a New Yorker. You can handle it.
I know. I know I can. But I'm divorced now, so all my friends are married. The boring, or they're all out of state, the good ones. The good ones are all out of state, my girlfriends, you know. But the guy friends, they're married.
The guy friends, they're married? Can you be
friends
with them?
The guy ones are married.
Joe, I'm not talking about romance, sexual. I'm just talking about having a good time.
No, I know. Believe me, I couldn't get involved with somebody else right now. I don't have the strength for it.
Okay. Two places and right. Call back. Thanks for calling in.
I will promise you I will do that.
Okay. All right. Big hug.
I love you. But is Patrick going to be okay? Is he going to be all right? Is he going to hang in there?
He's going to be okay, but you just have to unconsume a little bit from him. Just let him have some space right now. I can feel it. My head is so tight right now, Joanne. Get out of my head. I love you.
Bye.
I love you. Call back. I love you.
Love
Bye.
You too, honey. Call you next week. Ciao.
Okay. Ciao. Hi, 808-895. Welcome to Awakening.
Hi, Michelle. It's Mary Beth. How are you doing today?
Hey,
hello. Can you hear me, Michelle?
Great. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. This is Mary Beth.
Oh, cool.
We've talked a few times.
Yes.
I have a romance question for you.
Oh, I love it. Romance, yeah.
You always say that.
Yeah. I love romance.
Yeah, a guy that I've been seeing that I really like. I've known him for a while.
Cool.
And I want to see what you see with that. And a time frame. Kind of going slow.
Yeah, you're going slow. But he likes you, too. Aren't we kids?
Yeah.
We're like little...
That's
we're
true.
Like little
I know that, yeah.
School-age kids. Yeah, he likes you. You want to know where it's going, and is it going to... look for more what you want to. You want a little faster track. Believe it or not, probably July. Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's not too far off.
Yeah, July. Okay, let me qualify. July, August. Do you guys ride bikes?
I do.
You ride bikes. Well, but what
I'm
about
always
him
on
riding
my
a bike with you? Oh, you're always on your bike because I saw a bike. Okay.
Yeah.
Does he ride bikes with you?
That would
no,
be my ex,
not?
And that's definitely
oh,
not
that's
coming
your ex.
Back.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's kind of romantic.
Describes...
Okay.
Huh?
That's cool. So romantic. Do a little picnic, ride the bike. I'll come to Hawaii and ride the bikes with you.
I know. I was just out on the pier and called you, but I had to get to my office, and I was like, I wanted you to see the picture that I was looking at of the beautiful turquoise ocean. It's really gorgeous
see that.
Today.
That's what I do. Thank you for that.
And
I
all
do
the fish.
See that ocean.
Yeah,
I love it. No, I think it's cool. I like the I'm going to ask my little astro dice. I like the relationship. Some go slow.
So when
some
you
go
see
faster.
when you see, how do you know I'm thinking that we're on the same page with the same guy? Because you see, you ask for a name.
Because I'm picking up the energy of the two of you.
Okay.
You're asking about the guy that's going slow. I feel your ex didn't go slow. Right?
Oh, God, that was just like off and on. I talked to you about that like way at the beginning of last year. I was really stuck. And when I let that go, I tell you what, the vortex opened and my life got so full, and it was a really, really good lesson for me on holding when I'm holding, then I can't receive.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this guy's got a lot of family, a lot of issues with his family going on. He's taken up a lot of his energy.
Yeah.
And so
here's the thing. You know what I've been getting. Here's the thing that I've been getting, it's like, don't X anybody out. You know, people can wind in and out. Just, I would still say be open. I got to say that. Be open. If you're not getting enough from one person, you know what I mean? And then we can't get everything from one person.
Right.
But if you're wanting that kind of couple-y special something and it's not happening, don't X the other person out. But be open because somebody else can come in and give that to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. It's totally. Like, and then, yeah.
That's the thing. If we, like, I have friends I go dance. I have different friends for different things, you know, and the ones that do the most with me, the ones that will hang out the most with, obviously, you know. And, I have a friend I love going to cafes. She hates drinking hot drinks. So we don't go to cafes, but we go to the beach. So I would say let him be how he is. I don't know if he's ever going to be the cuddly, cuddly that you want, though. I'll be honest. I don't know how much of that he has in him. That's the thing. I don't know that it's necessarily he's slower. I think you're going to get more of what you want in July and August, but I would say still be open.
Okay. I am totally
open,
and I realize, it's about me fulfilling myself, but I just would really like to have
accept him where he's at. Accept whoever you're dating or whoever's around you. But don't minimize your dream. Just hold that vision of your dream, and it'll show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I really got to go because guess what? I got to call Jude.
Okay. Thank you for your time. Have a great day. Aloha.
You too. Aloha. Okay, now I've not done this on my phone before, so I'm just warning everybody, if I lose you or something happens, I'll have to get you back. Let's see, because I got to add call because I'm on my phone. I'm giving you the 411. Thanks, Michelle, though my man is my son. Give them space. Doesn't matter. A man's a man. A guy's a guy. It doesn't matter. Hey, but women, we need space as well. Okay, so I'm going to try this, add a call. Oh, my God. How do I do it? I need a techie. Okay, so if I lose you guys, I'll call you back. And my producer is not in. I don't see her in the chat. Sadie, if you're there, 191. It's ringing busy, so I'm going to try her again because it's about 9 o'clock. I do see more callers in the switchboard. If you did have a question or comment, please press 1 on the keypad. Lori, you're so right in the chat, so right. It does seem to be what's going on, just in general, I think, also. Okay, let's see. I'm going to try again. Ooh. Thank God I have her number here. Hello. Jude?
Yes, Michelle. Hey. Hi. Hello.
Welcome. Oh, my God.
Hello.
I know you'd understand this. I was a little technically challenged because I'm calling through my phone. And, of course, I didn't do it ahead of time because this is how I am.
Well, it's very good because certainly I think the time is of the here and the now, isn't it?
So true. And how have you been?
Very, very well. Just returned from Norway. I was speaking at an Evolving Consciousness conference.
Oh, wow.
So we've just been away for a few days doing that, and that was wonderful, and doing some landscape healing work alongside it that was unexpected but very powerful and great. And then before that, earlier on, a month or so ago, thereabouts, we had a week in Morocco. up in the Atlas Mountains. So that was fab. So now we're home and I'm enjoying the garden and the spring and all of it. What about you? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm things are just expanding. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Got just reaching out more to people within the community. And I know you do that a lot globally.
Yeah. But it feels so right, doesn't it? And you know, this in, you know, the network, not networking in any other way than just to support each other.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Now tell me, you have a new book coming out, actually. Or is it out?
I do. It's just posted. We've just published it. We self-published, but we just published it as an e-book on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And now
I'm really
fictionalized, so what does that mean? It's not totally fiction then.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's essentially written as fiction, but it's based on my own experiences, you know, metaphysical and spiritual and scientific. You know, all the explorations I've been doing since I was 4 years old.
Mm. So it's called the first, now it's a series. So the first one is Legacy.
That's right. It's the Heritage of the Dragon series. The first book is Legacy, but it's in three parts.
Okay.
They're all available now on Amazon. And it's really great because the early reviews, they've all been 5-star, and I'm so thrilled that folks are enjoying them so much, but also they're getting these amazing aha moments.
Mm. So without giving it too much away, what is the premise of the book so far readers can know? And also, where do they find the book? Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. It's as an e-book. So it's on Kindle at Amazon. But they don't have to have, the guys don't have to have Kindle to actually read it. What you do?
They do have to have Kindle or they don't have to?
No, they don't have to.
Okay.
Basically, there's a free Kindle app. So if you go onto the book and you don't have Kindle yourself, you can click the Kindle app to download that free, and then you can read the book on your any tablet, your smartphone,
mm-hmm.
or your PC.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't
Wait,
it? As well
yeah.
as, obviously, I know a lot of folks have Kindle. I got a tablet a while ago. Santa bought me one. And I love it. So, yeah, the free Kindle app means you can read it on any of those. And basically, it's the story of our times. You know, the spiel I wrote, the description of it is that, you know, the idea is that for millennia, there's been a hidden fight between forces trying to control humanity and those striving
right.
for its freedom, and that's coming to a head. And the first book is at the pivotal moment of sort of 2012, but as those prophecies unfold of 2012, the heroine, a woman, a scientist, Eleanor Duke, there's a mystic presence, a mystical presence that returns to her from childhood. When it first appeared to her as a child, she just pushed it away. So it returns, it drags her, kicking and screaming, away from what she thinks is her work to literally what really is her work. And it's a terrifying mission, and it's a mission really to help the forces that are striving for humanity's freedom to overcome those who just want to control us. And it's all, it goes
oh,
around the
it.
World, and it's about finding an ancient artifact and bringing it back and energizing the planetary grid. But it's all about how everyone, every single one of us, every ordinary one of us, somehow deep within us, there is the possibility of being an extraordinary hero.
Mm.
And this very ordinary
Love that.
Woman, you know, this very, very ordinary woman, lots of flaws and foibles, is literally called to undertake an extraordinary quest, and her search overturns everything she thinks she knows. She's challenged to a limit, but she discovers the shocking truth, not only of her own legacy, but the hidden heritage of the entire human race and our evolutionary path and potential destiny.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? And you say
yeah.
legacy, and I hope I have a bit of an echo here, but to try to get out of my wireless network. it reminds me, in a way, like you're saying, her legacy and the legacy of the world.
Yeah.
That in a sense we all kind of wake up to our inner legacy, right?
Exactly that. Exactly that, Michelle. And the succeeding books, just, you know, the story gets bigger and bigger, and with each step of her journey, she literally discovers, remembers who she really is. But of course, she's us. She's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at this time and in the coming years, as we're going through these incredibly changes, but as we do, we're sort of letting go of the controls and the limitations of the past. That's what we're being called to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Eleanor feels herself called to. So, yeah, I'm really excited by it, and I hope folks very, very much enjoy it. As I say, what's been really great is the early reviews, but also the emails I've been getting, which say that folks are just going, aha, and yes,
mm-hmm.
and ah, and synchronicities as they read it. And that really thrills me that they're having those experiences.
Mm. Would you say that's a big part of the awakening? And wait, I also want to let everybody know, if the echo is really driving you nuts, let me know.
Right, okay.
Is it dry? Can you hear it?
No, at the moment, I'm okay my end.
You're okay on your end. Okay, so in the chat, if it's really horrible, I can deal with it. But if it's horrible, then I'll call back in.
Okay.
So would you say that's a big part of the awakening, is us awakening to that part of ourselves?
Very much. Very much. I mean, for Eleanor, you know, she, when she was a little girl, it's Thoth who comes back to her. But he came to her when she was a little girl. And at first, she loved it. But then she started to tell her friends at school, and they just laughed at her. And the whole idea is, you know, she hated being laughed at because she was the daughter of a single mother and all of that. And so she pushed him away. And I wonder whether, you know, so many kids, when they tell their friends their experiences or their teachers or their parents or their family or whoever, they get told, oh, don't be so silly, or they get laughed at. And so, you know, the opportunity to really understand that part of her, she pushed away in the story for almost 30 years. And it's only when, you know, humanity's at its direst need, and she does have this incredible heritage and legacy, that Thoth does come back to her, and this time she has to listen. She has to listen, and you know, but it's still very reluctant. She really doesn't want to be dragged away from what she knows, you know, the reality that she thinks she knows. And I think, again, that's true of a lot of folks, you know.
Yeah,
but
I think
that awakening, yeah.
One thing, Jude, I'm wondering, and I've had some conversations with people about this lately, and I've been hearing this, is that many people are finally in this awakening, accepting themselves and saying, wow, this is really how I am, and I'm just going to, like this, I'm not going to try to fit in.
Well, you know, my sense is that they will fit in, because as more and more people awake,
right,
they realize that this is who we really are.
Yeah, okay.
And it's been the old paradigm that's been dysfunctional and limited and illusory. What we're awakening to is the reality.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. So we're awakening to the reality of how we really are. So the other was the falsity. So in a way, maybe that's why it's more comforting.
Yeah, we just set the alarm earlier than most folks.
Yeah, that's right. Oh God, I know. You know, I remember, I gotta tell you this, it just reminds me of what you said years ago when I was living in England. I did a workshop with actually it was Gary Zukav. And he said how lonely the path is and you walk alone. And I looked at my friend and I elbowed her and I said, not me. I want playmates. No way. I'm not doing this alone.
Absolutely. And I really do feel there are more and more playmates waking up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think. Now, Jude, what, because you have, I think you have 8 books. What do you, let me look, how many you have? Oh, you've got so many books out that are nonfiction.
Yeah.
And prolific writer. What moved you in the direction to do something fictionalized?
It called me, as indeed the other books did. And I just woke up, you know, one morning with this story. And I think as anyone who's written fiction will probably tell you, The story writes them, and you think you're heading down a particular direction, and then the characters just take over, and the story takes over, and you are really just the scribe who writes it, but the story has a life of its own, and it flows through you. And I suppose at one level, I did realize that many people who literally are beginning to wake up and realize and remember who they really are, you know, aren't really ready for the non-fictional, the writings of this. So many more folks enjoy fiction.
Yes.
And I just wanted it to be something that on so many levels people could just enjoy. So folks who just enjoy it as an adventure story, an exciting adventure story. But I think there's going to be a lot more folks who will delve deeper, and maybe things in the book, you know, they'll think, well, what's all that about? And maybe Google it, and that'll take them down another journey and another thread and another aha way of seeing themselves and the world. So I suspect that, and I hope that, you know, in a way, you know, it's a very wide readership who will enjoy it on many different levels.
I know I could do that because most of my books are boring me, and TV is definitely boring me right now. Because it's just not reflecting where I'm at. I don't have a ton of drama in my life, so, and I don't, you know, want to rehash stuff in books that, you know, it's already been written. So I think there's such a market for new templates.
I agree, and you know, the heritage of the dragon, wherever it takes us, because I don't know how many books there are going to be in it. I've got the arc for the first three very clearly. I have a sense of where the fourth may be. But as I say, they write me, so the story's got a life of its own, but it does get just bigger and bigger picture. The second book, which is called Awakening.
I love that.
I thought you might. Is due to get published at the end of this year. And with that, again, we're moving to the next step of a bigger picture. So in that one, there'll be, you know, Eleanor will begin to communicate with the elemental realms and the devic realms of Gaia.
Mm.
So I'm really excited about writing about those guys because I know them very well. And so I'm really looking forward to how the story, you know, the journey that the story takes in that second book.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'd love too, with your scientific background, you're bringing that in.
Yeah.
So it's right away that balance. Even though it's a female protagonist, it's also integrating that aspect, or the left brain male, you know, there's already an integration or synthesis there.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, when Thoth comes back to Eleanor, she is a scientist and she's obsessed by her science, and she's wanting to try and develop a teleportation machine because she's, you know, so much of our technology is destructive of Gaia's resources, and she loves nature. So she's trying to do something that, you know, will help that. But of course, everybody tells her she's mad, she's crazy, she can't do it. But she's brilliant and she's on the edge of it. So when Thoth comes back, she's like, I don't believe my work. This is my work. And you say, this is your real work.
Yes. Boy, and that's what a lot of people are waking up to.
That's right. But then it all integrates, of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jude, I just had a thought for our writers out there. What is your process with writing? I mean, how would you know that it's going to be fictionalized, or how do you know that it's going to be nonfiction? Does it come through like, okay, you're going to be writing this story and it's more fictionalized, or does the words start coming through?
I do get the guidance as to whether it's going to be written as, whether it's nonfiction or fictional. And amazing, I mean, after five non-fiction books, which come through in a particular way, I found that the fictional story comes through in a very different way. The style of writing's very different.
Mm.
It's very visual. The fictional, I mean, Legacy, reads very visually. Obviously, there's dialogue. the chapters are much shorter. So, you know, it's a real page turner in that sense. And I didn't deliberately set out at all to write in that style. As I say, the style as well as the story wrote me. But it was very interesting as a process for me to experience how that came through very differently from how the nonfiction books came through.
Mm-hmm. Now we have a comment and a question. Comment and a question. Sarah's saying, channeling truth through writing like some of the best fictional writers of the last century are prophets of the future and today's science. You are seeing the future. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel... So who was asking that?
That's Sarah.
Sarah, thank you for that. I agree. I mean, the legacy as such is that the action takes place in 2012 because I felt we needed to address what happened in 2012 and how 2013 continued on. But the books will continue literally in our time frame going forward. But they really are, you know, what I feel is coming, what my guidance is, and it's really remembering who we really are. And that's on a, you know, on so many different levels. It's just that the picture is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so as the readers read it, really what I feel is that I'm hoping that something will resonate, some memory, some knowingness will resonate within them for their own remembering process.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just thinking there's also similar, you know, market or audience, but there are also some people that are able to embrace more of this in a fictionalized form.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I'd never written a book until, you know, Hay House came to me. I mean,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'd sort of never written a book, and then I had two publishers come to me. O Books, which is a small publishing company in the UK, and Hay House, and both came to me before I'd written a book. And the nonfiction really, you know, came first. And then after the five nonfiction books, it just seemed the right time. And I've had such fun writing the fiction. Mm-hmm. And what I'm doing now is I'm actually, and this is going to be interesting, I'm writing my next nonfiction book alongside the next fictional book in the series of Heritage of the Dragon.
That brings me a question from Rob, is asking, which do you prefer, the nonfiction or the fictionalized?
That's a great question. It's like, which child do you love best? You know, it they're so different. It's like having two kids, and one's an Aries and one's a Libra. And it's like, hello, they're so different, but they're both fabulous, and I love both. I'm going to find it interesting, I think, writing the two types alongside, because what I sometimes feel with a nonfiction is when it flows, it flows. But when it doesn't, I literally cannot try and make it flow. It just won't. Mm-hmm. And the same with the fiction. So I'm hoping that when the nonfiction has a bit of a quiet time, I can write the fiction and vice versa. I'm hoping that one's in full flow while the other's, you know, gently quiet and vice versa.
You might be onto something there.
I do love them both.
You might be onto something there. I love that. Yeah, go between the two.
Yeah, see what happens. Right foot, left foot. Do a dance.
And now we've got Tricia in the chat is saying, love Jude's energy and sharing.
Oh, bless you, Tricia. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I hope the guys that are on the, you know, our call, our program, I hope they get to read Legacy. And if they do, I'd love to hear from them, their own experiences. Because, you know, I've had guys say, I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't, so I had to get up and finish the book. So if people are awake in the middle of the night reading, I do apologize in advance.
Just those who are joining us now, our guest is author of Legacy, Jude Kuravan, is a cosmologist and healer. She has a PhD in archaeology, researching ancient cosmologies, a master's degree in physics, specializing in cosmology and quantum physics. and she's author of 5 nonfiction books, including Hay House published The Eighth Chakra, as well as her most recent book, Legacy, which is available on Amazon. And Jude, what is your website?
www.judecurravan.com.
Okay.
Really,
yeah.
Simple, Michelle.
Really simple,
really
that's
simple.
Good, yeah. And is it available on the website or is it just Amazon?
No, it's just on Amazon, and it's on Amazon all around the world. It's at Kindle on Amazon, but as I said earlier, if folks don't have a Kindle, they can still read it on their tablets or smartphone, or in fact their PC or Mac.
What about Mac, like iPad? Can I get it on my iPad?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All you do is you click on, you go to the book on Amazon, just go under Jude Curravan. You'll see it's in 3 parts, Legacy Part 1, Legacy Part 2, and Part 3. Just click on Part 1, and you get a little thing saying Kindle app, and it's a free app. You just download that on whatever your device is, and it means you can then get the book.
Mm. Oh, so Legacy, you have Legacy 1, 2, and 3 already.
Well, because it was quite a long book,
ah.
And I know that folks who are reading on their devices tend to seem to prefer slightly shorter books.
Mm-hmm.
And the story itself just easily fell into 3 parts.
Ah, okay.
So it's in 3 parts. On Amazon, but it's still overall the first book of the Heritage of the Dragon series.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one is Awakening.
Awakening, and the third one is Destiny.
It's Destiny. Wow, it sounds so good.
I know.
It sounds great. Yeah, Jude, I know, and I also would like people to know, are you still doing your astrology, your solar astrology?
Very much so, yeah,
okay.
Very much so. And, you know, be happy to talk about the events of April, because boy, have we got a big month.
I know what's happening in April, and how do we prepare? I feel like it's so much is up in the air, you know?
I know. I mean, I think particularly the fact that we've got, you know, the lunar eclipse coming up, then we've got the Grand Cross, then we've got the solar eclipse. I mean, usually eclipses are completions and new beginnings, but with a cardinal Grand Cross in the middle, boy, do we have a crossroads and a mega completion, you know, mega completion and new beginning possibilities.
Is it because of the Pluto in Capricorn and then the Uranus in Aries?
Well, it's all of it. We've got Uranus in Aries, which is, you know, all about identity. We've
right.
got Jupiter in Cancer, which is about, you know, expanding our... Well, Uranus in Aries, revolutionary wake-up. About identity. We've got Jupiter, the great expander in Cancer, the sign of home and family. We've got Mars retrograde in activity but action in Libra, about balance,
mm-hmm.
About relationships. And we've got Pluto, the great transformer in Capricorn, all about work and structures. So it's like every major aspect of our lives, both personal and collective, are really affected by this, this Grand Cross and top and tailed with a lunar and solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm. So that Capricorn, is it about identity with Uranus and Aries and also the Capricorn, like restructuring or transforming structures?
Yeah, very much.
Identity.
I mean, we've got a situation where we've had Uranus, obviously the slow-moving Uranus in Aries, Uranus went into Aries at the time of the Arab Awakening, you know, the Arab Spring. So
mm-hmm.
he's been in Aries a few years, 3 years or so, and he'll remain in Aries until, I think it's 2019 or something like that.
Okay.
And Pluto's in Capricorn from sort of 2008-09. To 2023, it's a long term.
Ooh,
of course,
it's a long time.
It is a long time, and we need that long time to really go collectively through these major changes. But of course, between 2012 and 2015, Uranus and Pluto have also had these series of 7 square alignments, and this is, you know, this Grand Cross, the two of them are in square alignment within the Grand Cross. So it's major, you know, and new beginnings. But with Jupiter and Mars there too, we've got major activity, major shining a light, major expansionary energies to change, to move forward. And with the lunar eclipse in Libra too, you know, it's how do we find balance within ourselves? And then with the solar eclipse in Taurus, you know, how do we use our common sense and our grounding to start really planting these changes in our lives? It's an incredibly powerful moment. And, you know, all of the planets within the Grand Cross are in 13 degrees of those cardinal signs. So, you know, 13 is the numerology of transformation. It doesn't really get much more powerful than this. And, of course, it's very much the 23rd of April is a sort of pivot point of all of this. Although it's been building for some time, it will continue to ripple for some time. But on the 23rd of April, you know, that intensity is, I think, will be very, very powerful for virtually everyone.
And is it moving us in new directions? You said, like, new beginnings. Is there completion there as well?
I think with the eclipses, there's always a completion and a new beginning with eclipses. But you see, with cardinal signs, by their nature, they're about new beginnings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, back in 1999, folks may remember the total solar eclipse of August 1999, but that was in fixed signs.
Mm-hmm.
This Grand Cross is all in cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn.
Jude, you know the visual I just got? Like a slingshot. We're all going to be slingshot in our new direction.
Yes. And I would, you know, I would really encourage folks to let that happen.
Okay.
Don't try and hold on to
the old
stuff.
Don't try to hold on.
No,
yeah.
Don't try and hold on.
Yeah.
I really do feel that, you know, it is an extraordinary moment. And, you know, energetically it's very intense. And I do feel that if folks try and hold on to the old way, you know, it will be exhausting. If indeed they can hold on, I suspect they, you know, for most folks, that's just going to be impossible to hold on to the old. And nor should we, because it really is unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an amazing opportunity in my sense of it, to really embrace the new opportunities and new energies going forward.
Mm-hmm. And these new opportunities, is it all across the board? So relationship, career, identity, or releasing labels, I would say. Maybe releasing identity.
Well, you know, it's with the lunar eclipse in Libra and with Mars also in Libra, you know, it's very much about compromise. So whatever feels unsustainable or dysfunctional or just unsatisfying or not fulfilling, it's such an opportunity not to compromise anymore.
Right.
Instead of throwing everything out, just have a look at what really does need to change radically and in a revolutionary way, but also what can be harmonized, what can be balanced, what sort of compromise can we make? You know, I talk about compromise as lose-lose, but compromise is a win-win balance.
I love that, compromise. So like a promise. Like a promise. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not about throwing everything out and throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's about being really honest and open and truthful with ourselves, being willing to shine a light on our lives, but then really seeing what does have to change completely, but what can, as I say, be compromised. And harmonize. That's where Libra's essence is so powerful, because the lunar eclipse on the 15th really opens a portal to then the Grand Cross coming in, you know, 22nd to 24th of April. So it's a really good time through the lunar eclipse.
Now, when is the lunar eclipse?
Sorry?
Eclipse?
It's on the 15th.
Okay,
it's on
so
the
April
15th of April.
And that's a good time, you said, to go within?
I always feel that with a lunar eclipse because it's lunar, so it's about our inner life. And the moon is in Libra, so that's very much about our inner balance. And, of course, the sun is in Aries and at the same time, so that's our sense of identity. So it's really looking within and getting a deeper understanding of how we can come into balance on that inner level. And that then can take us into the Grand Cross of the 22nd to the 24th, and then we come out of that, and on the 29th there is the solar eclipse in Taurus, which is all about grounding and common sense realization, practical realization of how we can begin to really work with these new energies going forward.
Okay, we got another question by Matt. What's the difference between the lunar and solar eclipse? What's the difference in the focus?
The focus.
He said, how should I focus?
Okay, well, I would always invite, thanks, Matt, for that question. It's a great question because, of course, lunar and solar eclipses come in pairs. Whether they're partial or total, or in this case with an annular solar eclipse in the partnership, they're always 2 weeks ahead because, of course, a lunar eclipse takes place when the moon is full and the Earth is between the sun and the moon, and a solar eclipse takes place at the new moon where the moon is between the Earth and the sun. So for a lunar eclipse, I tend to suggest that you really go within on the emotional level, on you know what makes you tick from within. So a time of inner reflection and quietness, and really go and find out what's pressing your buttons or not on that inner level. A solar eclipse is more about your outer identity, and with an annular eclipse, which is what this is, it's rather like you can still see the ring of the sun around the darkness caused by the moon's shadow. So in this particular instance, I like to consider annular eclipses are helping us to really see what is our authentic self, and therefore what do we want to release that is not authentic within our sense of self, and what do we want to take forward and enhance that is an authentic part of us. So I feel that these two eclipses, as I say, with the lunar one to begin with in Libra, which is about inner balance, and then the annular one, the solar one, in Taurus, which is about, you know, our authentic self and grounding that and making practical steps to really embody that in our life. My suggestion would be to keep those two focus, you know, those two points of focus through those two eclipses.
And so is it every lunar and then solar eclipse that this is the focus?
No, because it really, well, generically, yes, inner for the lunar, sort of outer sense of self for the solar. But, of course, depending on their astrology, the signs that they're in, and also where they fall in someone's personal chart, you could have, you know, different essence of them. So those change. But the emphasis on the inner sense of identity and the outer sense of identity, lunar and solar respectively, is generic.
Now, Jude, would you say with the solar eclipse, is that more of a decision-making time? Like maybe the lunar is going within, contemplating, maybe reviewing, and then the solar is more the action time?
I think in this particular instance, most definitely, because you've got the Libra aspect of the lunar eclipse, which is about that inner harmony, heart and mind, you know, how, you know, the masculine, feminine aspects of it. Yeah, you know, all on that, how do we find balance? How do we find harmony? How do we find peace on that inner level? And then certainly with the solar eclipse in Taurus, it's very much about embodying that practically, you know, common sense, practical steps of embodying that in our lives going forward.
Now, how is this,
because this is happening individually, but also collectively, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
And the degree to which, you know, folks will really feel it is you know, especially will be especially if the eclipses, you know, impact have some sort of aspect with their own natal chart, you know, and a conjunct or opposition or a square or a trine. So it's always helpful if folks are aware of their natal chart to just see what the eclipses do with via that, and also the Grand Cross, because the Grand Cross is pretty intense. And on the basis that I have a cardinal Grand Cross in my natal chart, literally every single part of me is affected through this time.
What do you do? Suggestion,
sorry,
advice.
You know, I don't know. I either go under the duvet or goodness knows what else. But clearly, whatever it is, it's going to be pretty significant. But I'd really encourage folks to have a look how that it affects themselves, because it'll help them, you know, get the nuances of what this means. But cardinal very much is about new beginnings, and being in all four aspects of cardinal signs, it affects every aspect of our lives.
Mm. We've got Tricia in the chat. Jude is speaking so to me about integrating the lunar and solar eclipses. Me too, Jude. Grand Cross, natally.
Oh, Trish, bless you. I think Trish and I should just hold hands through this time.
I was telling a friend of mine, I'm like, I just want to go to sleep like Sleeping Beauty, and when it's all over, somebody just kissed me and awakened me, and then I'll go.
Fairy tale.
Fairy tale. I'm going to go into the fairy tale mode.
Well, with Neptune in Pisces, you probably could do that, but with Chiron alongside Neptune, I think, you know, this is such these times are just so incredibly supported by the cosmos in terms of really looking at who we really are and clearing out the debris and the stuff that no longer supports us. And, you know, we talk about change and it is challenging, but goodness me, it's taking us to an amazing place if we really, you know, let go and just go with the flow of it.
And that's what I'm finding. It's the letting go, the detachment to outcomes. And it seems like you get to a point where you just almost can't make it, or there's too much going on, and then there's a breakthrough.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And certainly my experience has been is that it's only when I've held on, you know, I might have told myself something different, but I know that it's when I've tried to hold on that it's been the most problematic and challenging and painful. And when I really have honestly let go, the cosmos is so incredibly benevolent. And you know,
so not holding on.
I really would say and invite folks and encourage folks not to hold on. There lies exhaustion and pain, you know.
Exhaustion and pain.
Exhaustion and painful exhaustion.
Here's from Sarah. Jude, are there important questions to ask our guides, or an opportunity to open up our awareness to any astral energy / ascended masters, holy mother / angel?
I think that's a great point, Sarah. I would say always, not just at this time. I mean, more and more, you know, the awakening process is that we do expand our awareness and are ever more able to communicate. I mean, they're always there. But, you know, we've limited ourselves and we've shut ourselves down from that communication for so long. So this whole awakening process is one of remembering and communicating with all the realms of the cosmos. And this is, of course, is an amazingly powerful time to do so. But I'll just encourage that communication and that openness and that invitation of higher realms to, you know, communicate with us and just open ourselves. In my experience, it's not complex, it's not difficult. It just needs an intention from the heart and attention from the heart for that channel to be opened.
Mm. That reminds me of your CD, the eighth chakra.
Yeah, the CD with the attunement.
The attunement, yeah, the attunement would really be helpful for people.
I feel so. I mean, there is a CD called Heart, Mind, and Purpose that folks can get on Amazon, but also I've posted some free Universal Heart attunements on my website. And if folks would like to go to the media and articles section of the website and then the subsection on podcasts and attunements, they can download those for free. And thanks, Michelle. You're right. I mean, that's why I did that, so that this would be helpful to folks at any time in terms of opening themselves up in the eighth chakra and universal heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jude, what is that? Heart, Mind, and Purpose?
Heart, Mind, and Purpose is the CD. It's a double CD that is available on Amazon, but also the attunements, the universal heart attunements, are freely available from my website.
Okay.
And there are four of them, and they cover specific aspects of being in the energy of the universal heart, to just be there, or to communicate with higher guides, or to find your soul purpose, or to do soul healing. So all four of them are on there.
Beautiful. I'm putting that in the chat, and then people can know that. All they really need to do, people, just go to judecuravan.com, and you can look for those attunements, universal heart attunements. They're also free. That's what a nice gift.
Well, I just felt that I couldn't do the soul healing on an individual basis any longer, because I do it on a sort of planetary basis.
Yeah.
So it just offered folks the opportunity to do that for themselves.
Oh, wonderful. Jude, we're winding out of time. I always love when you're here. Thank you so much for taking time out from your wonderfully full schedule to be with us today.
Michelle, it's been my absolute pleasure as always, and lots of love to you and lots of love to the folks who've been listening to us. And have an amazing April. I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to hear what you think of Legacy.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get into it.
Bless you.
All right. Bless you, and big hug.
And you too. And you too. Hope to speak with you all soon again.
Yeah. Come back soon.
I'd love to.
And, of course, that was astrologer, cosmologist Jude Kuravan, and you can find out more information by going to judekuravan.com. Love you all. Thanks for being here on this Wednesday. Love spending time with you. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.